Welcome to the Van City Midweek Podcast. Today, we are talking about bearing God's image as a woman. Hi, everyone. My name is Kiana Zarati. I hope everyone can find something of value in today's podcast. The truths I share today are not exclusive to one gender. However, the intended audience is for the women of our church. I was around 10 years old when I heard about Jesus for the first time. It was Easter Sunday, and my family chose to go to church because that's what you do on Easter Sunday. Thank God we wound up in a Christian church. As my newly single mom and her daughters found their way at a church for the first time, we encountered a magnetic joy. My sister and I had a great time because candy, and my mom found the potential for friendships and healing and Jesus. So we kept coming back. And slowly but surely, we all found the compelling way of Jesus to be worth the commitment of sacrificing a weekend morning to this thing we call church. It wasn't until I turned 18 and moved to Germany for a Bible college for the year that I realized there are different denominations and beliefs inside the church. For 7 years, I thought that what was taught at our church and the denominational conferences we went to was what the whole of the church believed. I never understood the great many distinctions and expressions across church history in the Christian tradition. When lectures for 5 hours a day started and people weren't raising their hands in worship and, what, not everyone speaks in tongues? I quickly realized through this international school that hosted multiple continents, we practiced our faith differently, but loved and served the same Jesus. Germany is where I learned for the first time about authorial intent and cultural context and what biblical commentaries were. I had to handwrite a 10-page paper, because 2007, on a chapter of the New Testament breaking down who it was originally for, not me, when it was written, not now, and what it really is saying, not just what I think it says. And it was at the same time that a breakdown of sorts started happening internally. There was a lot of personal emotional and relational pain I was struggling through, but a lot of the narratives I believed about the church were being challenged, and there was little evidence to keep them intact. One of the stories that was woven into my identity was the fear and excitement that I was made for something big. But that big had limits. A mother, a true dream of mine that I held onto from middle school. A teacher, but to elementary-aged kids. A world changer, via my kids and their friends. I wanted to be the safe house where all the friends wanted to come and hang out and have all the good snacks. Those were my dreams, and they felt big and exciting. They were, and are, beautiful dreams, until the first time I saw a woman preaching during a Sunday in 2016. My first thought was, women can do that? With what I share next, I want to clarify I'm not here to hate on the church I grew up in. I learned a lot of really beautiful and life-changing things there. I made lifelong friends, and I found Jesus. This is not a throw-out-the-baby-with-the-bathwater situation. And I'm not going to be 15 years removed and say everything I learned there was beneficial. I remember hearing a discussion describing the creation of woman, that God chose the rib of a man because it was where women belonged, under his arm so we can be easily swayed, physically moved, and led by him. Our nationwide network always held an egalitarian view, allowing women to be elders. And I remember being old enough to be part of the voting for our specific church. As the elders were about to change, would we also allow women to be elders? The standing leaders brought up the change and allotted time for church members to share their approval or dissent before we voted. And I still remember listening to these men who had watched me grow up in this teeny church, who had daughters of their own, get up to the microphone and describe or get heated or raise their voice and say over and over how women's voices are not worthy to be part of church decisions. I heard that we are too emotional, how we are to sit down and not speak over men, how our place is only to raise the next generation, but we are not allowed to teach peers or, dare I say, anyone older than us. Maybe the church passed the change. I honestly don't remember, but what is seared in my memory is seeing the disappointment seeping out of the dissenting men's body language, the shaking of their heads in anger and in their eyes. I think I remember how I voted, but I do remember being confused. Maybe I was nodding my head along with these angry men who were telling everyone where a woman's place is to be. Or did I even feel a stirring in my spirit that this felt wrong? But then again, if it feels wrong, then maybe they were right and women are too emotional to think straight. So maybe I am the one that's wrong and I don't have a place at the table. If what I'm sharing is relatable to you in any way, I'm here to remind you that these narratives are not rooted in who God has made us to be. These storylines have distorted God's intention for his created daughters. In Adam alone, creation wasn't complete. Eve was not an afterthought. She was created to bear or hold a part of God's image that was intended for her to carry and pass down to other women. Knowing that God is a father creates this framework for me to feel trapped. How do I, as a sister and church mother, bear the image of a father? Maybe by his tenderness and nurturing, or by his ability to sit with each of us in pain without pushing us through to fix it, or in his empathy and deep concern for the well-being of others. All of these things and more seem to be innate in women, things a lot of us are just born with, and all things that reflect our good father. Those are his attributes, alive in us, his daughters. We are meant for more than the boundaries that we have placed on ourselves or that others have placed on us. I think of Mary Magdalene. Jesus heals her of 7 demons, and not only does she become a disciple, but in the book of John, she is the first to experience the reality that the tomb was empty. Jesus appeared to her. She was trusted with the single most important truth of our faith. In a time and place and context where women were not even considered human, they were believed to be untrustworthy, gossips, or too emotional. Yet in the kingdom of God, a woman was told to go and tell the others. She was the first to know because it was a woman's job to care for the bodies. She was being faithful to her role. And when she went searching, Jesus met her there to share the world-changing truth. I am a strong believer in that it is through the faithfulness of the mundane that Jesus reveals some of his most important truths to us. And I also believe that alongside the mundane, Jesus can show up and change the trajectory of our lives. From beginning to end, Scripture is full of the elevation of women. And let me be very clear, this is not a progressive ideology that elevates the value and voice of women above men, but that recognizes them as equal. Pastor Bethany Allen once said, "We are not the fullness of God, we are only part of it. We cannot fully bear his image and essence without our brothers. And nor can our brothers fully bear the image without us." However, for me, there's a big head-to-heart disconnect sometimes. In my head, I know this to be true, but often in my heart, I sometimes live into the cultural narratives or the lies that I am too much or I am not enough. Do you believe that your words hold the same weight and value as others? That what you bring to the table deeply matters? That your presence is not a burden or an afterthought? That you and your mothers and your grandmothers were created with kingdom purpose? I'm learning that alongside my brokenness and the brokenness in the world, my voice matters to the kingdom, not just because I'm a woman, but because Jesus is using me, who happens to be his daughter, his beloved, his intentional creation. Now, I know that this exact experience may not resonate with everyone, but maybe there are some lies that have shaped what you base your worth on. Maybe you're single by choice or circumstance, and it can feel like you're waiting for your life to start. Or maybe you feel like you're not enough without a partner or a family. Or maybe you feel perfectly secure in your singleness, but you've been made to feel as if you are less than for it. Jesus can and will use us in every stage of life if we let him, but also the way that you are able to love others and have the capacity to show up for people or the calling over your life is building up the kingdom of God too. Or maybe you're a mom listening, and maybe you believe the lie that raising your children isn't big enough, or you're missing out, or your groundhog days are not worthwhile. In the never-ending days of motherhood, let's hold on to the truth that you are still the most significant influence who will shape the future and the beliefs of your children. Or maybe kids are not on your radar and never will be, and you struggle with justifying your choice to others. Maybe you believe your worth is tied to motherhood. Or maybe you are unable to have children. You can be fruitful and multiply by bringing good and beautiful and holy things into this world. By creating or serving or loving, your worth is not determined by the function or production of your womb. To the empty nesting mamas, our seasoned sisters, your value is not based on advice received or your ability to save someone else from pain. The faithfulness you carry is simply enough. A life surrendered to Jesus is a beacon for many of us watching you. And to everyone listening, man and woman, our security and worth is settled into being who Jesus created us to be, his beloved, none of which is based on what we do or what we accomplish. Healing from and reconstructing cognitive distortions or lies is not a linear process. It takes time and effort to dig these things up, to replace those harmful narratives with truth and a value that is set by our Maker. And we get to use the words we've been given through Scripture. We can see how women have had a place in God's kingdom from the very beginning and throughout the story. We are broken, yes, and we have flaws and imperfections. And Scripture tells us that Jesus sees all of it, and he does not shy from the darkness in us. His light reveals each and every part and says, yes, you, all of you and all of who you are, you have a place at my table. And if we allow him to see all of us, all of our shame, doubt, and brokenness, and choose to press into the love he has for us, then our identity and worth starts to form from his truth. Do you know where your value comes from? It's not your roles, the things you offer to the church, your community, family, or job, not even your degrees and accomplishments. When we can feel settled into the knowledge that we are loved by him and we are like him, then the lies we believe start to feel a little smaller. We can come out of hiding and be seen for our whole selves in this moment, knowing that we are loved, worthy, and safe with him. If we look at the past individually and as women as a whole, I'm sure there are moments we can point to and say, I feel less than because of an experience. Shame may well up inside of us, caused by our own overreaction, fighting for value, or by someone directly or indirectly demeaning us, making us feel small or less than. Maybe the mere memory of it causes your cheeks to heat. However, when we are secure in who we are and where our true value lies, the pressure to feel validated by the people and environment around us lightens. The desire to prove ourselves to others can be replaced with the unwavering truth that we are his beloved. As my spiritual director asked me once, why do you feel the need to prove yourself to others when you don't have to prove yourself to God? And as he sees every piece of us, our darkness and brokenness included, he still calls us. He waits for us. He speaks life over us. We don't have to prove ourselves to Jesus. So why do we often feel the need to prove ourselves to others? Once we are out of hiding, seen for all we are, we then open ourselves up to be shaped by his evolutionary love. As we look to him, we can learn to love our whole selves and reveal even more of God's image in us. When we can be settled in the truth that we are loved wholly and completely as we are, we can find freedom in being known and called holy by him. Thank you for listening to the Van City Church Midweek Podcast. If you want to know more about what our church is up to, head to vancity.church. Thank you for listening to the Van City Church Midweek Podcast. If you want to know more about what our church is up to, head to https://. Lordy. Okay. If you're interested about what our church is up to, head to our website at Van City Church. Lord have mercy. Okay.